When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Do you want to be a master? Pokemon! Well, that's not this episode. That's next week. But I am Wrestling Chris G, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. And on the other line with me is my GS brother, the one that you can't transfer or take anywhere. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how you doing?
I would like to sincerely apologize to all headphone users. Or anybody that happens to listen to us on their commute. We're going to get comments.
Yeah, we are. Because people love to get behind that keyboard when I get loud.
And it's going to be all on you, because I'm just sitting here minding my own damn business.
Yeah, but this is the official last Jason Page theme song episode, bro. So Jason Page has made it to 85 episodes, 85 intros that he has been a part. Well, it might be a little less than that because of the band episodes early on, but nonetheless, this is the last one. This is episode 85 in the Kanto region. Well, in the Orange Islands now, because we just touched down, but it's called Pokeball Paro. Or translated from Japanese, Southern Pokemon and the GS Ball.
It's a little on the nose, isn't it?
Just a little on the nose. What's this week's episode about? They go and meet some Southern Pokemon and go after that GS Ball. And Brock gets a hard-on for the professor.
No, he doesn't get it. Pika.
Oh man, sponsors for this podcast are gonna hear this episode and be like, yeah, we're cutting our support now. All right, but how are you doing, bro?
I'm good. It's April in the Midwest is all I can tell you. I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. You know, the other day there was snow flurries, actually more than flurries.
I was about to say that snow stuck on the ground. I woke up and there was snow on the ground and my roof, the roof to my home was completely covered in snow.
I thought you were going to say the roof of my home caved in.
No. We got a brand new roof on this house. It better not cave in.
Yeah, so I can't understand it. I've given up trying to understand it. You know, it's supposed to be like in the 70s this weekend.
In the 80s, bro. We got 80s weather coming on Saturday.
That means it's going to fucking monsoon or something.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, are we officially into spring, or is that next week or whatever, or has it been and it just hasn't felt like it? I don't know.
I think spring was actually, because we're recording this on April 19th. I think spring happens on Easter, doesn't it? You spring forward?
Actually, no.
That happened a while ago because the clocks changed a while ago, a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
So, that's right. So yeah, we're in spring, but Illinois, as I was telling one of my friends the other day, who's out of state, I was like, yeah, we kind of skip spring, and we've been skipping spring the past few years here in Illinois. We go straight from winter to hot weather, and then we get fall just to piss everybody off and say, okay, get outside and rake your leaves. and then as soon as the leaves fall, we get snow again. So it's just, I'm ready to move from Illinois, bro. Are you ever going to move out of Illinois? You think so?
It might come to that at some point, but I can't see that far in the future right now.
So, but yeah, this week's episode is Pokeball Paro. It premiered February 11th, 1999, and here in the States, January 15th, 2000, everybody. So, and as we said, this is the final Jason Page theme song. Hats off to you, Jason Page. Thank you. Thank you for coming on to our show. And full support out there for what you're doing. You're killing it out there. Ooh, you okay?
Nope, dying.
You're killing it out there, Jason Page, when it comes to Pokemon cards and people buying your premium sets and everything. So if any of you haven't, here's a free plug for our listeners. Go and Google Jason Page for his website. I would say jasonpage.com, but I'm not sure if he actually owns that domain. But if you Google him, he has a whole shop on his website. You can get autographed gear. You can send your stuff over to him, and he will autograph it for you and all of that good stuff. So go ahead and send your stuff on over. I know last week when we had our premium Patreon guest Grant on, I mentioned that I would possibly reach out to the new theme song singer that did the second theme song to Pokemon. So I'm gonna do that. We're recording this literally after right after the Grant episode, and I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna find out who did that song, Doug, and I'm gonna get him on this show. Well, I'm gonna try to get him on this show. I can't say going to.
You've got a bit of an ace up your sleeve, you know. I mean, because you can reach out, and as long as they respond, you can be like, well, you know, we did get Jason Page on for an episode.
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of a streak going, you know.
Yeah, for real. And hopefully we get other guests on this upcoming season of Pokemon as well. And I will be doing a little bit more digging this season, and because it seems like the world's finally picking back up. People are ready to start doing things, get back out there. And what better way to get back out there than to get on the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. The number one Pokemon podcast out there, everybody.
Where you technically don't have to go anywhere.
Literally. You just need a computer or a phone.
Or a phone, exactly.
So, yeah, everybody. What better way than to get on the best Pokemon podcast out there, the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. So, there you go. I'm gonna plug us as the best. We're the best, Doug. We're the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
all right, enough boasting and and slapping our asses. All right, you ready to jump on into this episode, Doug, that Pokemon.com is listing as episode 29 of season 2?
Yeah, you know, every show out there has a new theme song randomly at episode 30, you know.
For real. So, all right, everybody. So, we start this week's episode with a full recap. Well, basically a brief recap of last week's episode with the blimp in peril. The blimp is going down. Ash was dumb enough to run to the front of the blimp and press the blimp down, and then they just crashed. And, you know, I didn't even notice this when we were reviewing. I'm just now thinking about this, Doug. Ash ran to the front of the blimp. When it crashed, and it was still crashing forward, and we go back into the blimp, Ash is in the back. How the hell did that happen? Can you do that math for me, Doug?
Well, I mean, you know, I listened to a couple other podcasts that deal with, like, the ins and outs of animation and, you know, in terms of, like, sitcoms and TV shows and stuff. And a common thing that comes up is, oh, there must have been a mix-up in, like, translation or in description of the, like, to the animators themselves.
Gotcha.
You know, because, like, the art directors will send over, you know, the scenes that need to be animated, and they'll have notes or, you know, descriptions of what needs to be, you know, in each scene or what have you. And, pardon me, the animators can only, you know, draw what's on, like, the notes. And, you know, they're not trying to have to do, you know, two or three passes per go. They're trying to get it move, you know, they're trying to move it, you know.
And there's no there's no time to go back and edit this.
Right. So, you know, if you leave, like, notes that can be taken, like, verbatim, it's taken verbatim. And then, you know, it's up to the directors and what have you to be like, oh, we've got to work around this because we were too literal with our note here. And then, you know, so something as simple as, you know, scene after they've crashed, you know, Ash being in the wrong end of the plane. And they're also, you know, they're animating this in, you know, 99, be released in 2000 or whatever. They're not anticipating somebody being able to sit here on a laptop or a phone and being able to pause it in 2022 and go, oh, they fucked up here.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They're like, okay, we'll put this out on a VHS tape and they can do whatever they want. And if they want to pause this, you might fuck up your VHS tape with that little string that used to be in there. Have your VCR eat your video. So, all right. So we are officially on the Orange Islands, everybody. And our trio is walking what looks like on the coast of a beach. And they're like, Ash is like, oh, it's so hot. And of course it's hot because his ass has a big ass backpack. He's wearing a t-shirt with a jacket over it and long john pants and a hat. And it doesn't look like he's had a haircut in God knows how long. And Misty's like, what are you talking about, Ash? And she's like, the weather's perfect. But of course, I think this was the writers poking fun because Misty is in short shorts. She has a crop top on and she has Togepi held up against her, who is probably a little cooler than your average Pokemon. So that's probably cooling her off as well. And her hair is put up, so it's not all up in her face. So.
Well, but to be fair, Pikachu's buck naked and he's sweating.
Yeah, because Pikachu's dumb and doesn't want to get in a Pokeball where it can get cool.
You know, that's fair. I can't argue that at all.
But of course, there's always a price to what Ash is saying. And he's like, Brock, maybe we should take a little swim. And he's like, we can have fun after we get that Pokeball. And Ash is like, okay. And Misty looks like, she's like, so where is Professor Ivy's I was about to say laboratory. I'm not. I'm in Dexter's laboratory. Where's Professor Ivy's laboratory anyway? Doug, I'm gonna have you take it from here because I'm going into a whole nother show that we're not even doing.
So they look off into the distance and they see, you know, rows of houses, and they can see mountains off in the distance, and Pikachu's looking around, and nobody has any idea, and we get the anime drop of sweat, and we get the big heavy sigh, and Pikachu's looking around, and then something perks up Pikachu, and he points, and we see a Pokemon Center off in the distance.
A weird looking Pokemon Center. We haven't seen one that looks like this, right?
No, we haven't. It's like a hut, and you walk in, and it's an open air.
Yes.
So right there, it's different. And they walk in, and they say, "Is anybody here?" And we see Chansey and a Nurse Joy. So right away, you've got the comforts of home. You know, Joy, she's not in a typical nurse's outfit like the others. She's got like overalls. I mean, she does have the hat,
which is red.
It is, you know, it is red. So maybe we've reset the color wheel, because maybe they've run through the others. and you know, Ash and Misty are like, "Oh, some things never change." And Brock, it's a bit of a hard on. He doesn't quite. Yeah. He's getting close.
Oh man, hard censors. Well, I can't. I don't censor that, but hard words in this episode.
Yeah, no, we've established Brock is hard.
Oh, good one. All right.
So, you know, Brock is like, "It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. Are you related to any of the other Nurse Joys?" And she's like, "I'm the second cousin of the sister-in-law to the Joy in Saffron City," which is not a sentence I would have been able to rattle off if I didn't have the captions on, because that's very detailed. And she's like, "Have you ever been to Saffron City?" And he's like, "Yes, it's beautiful, just as you are." And and Misty pulls Brock away by the ear, saying, "Looks like Ash isn't the only one that needs to cool down." And
and then Ash comes over. He's like, "Could you tell us how to get to Professor Ivy's laboratory?"
Now, did you do that one on purpose?
I did.
Okay, I just, because sometimes you surprise me. and she just points straight ahead, and she's like, it's right over yonder, basically.
Go straight out of the Pokemon Center and make the first left, and it's the big white building at the very end of the Bayview Road. You know, and I don't know how you feel, Doug, but I still, to this day, am very, very upset that this anime went to the Orange Islands and we never got this fun adventure in a video game. And I don't think they're ever going to, because at this point, I mean, they'd be taking steps back. But what the adventure that we're about to get into on these Orange Islands is so much fun. And the things that they can do, like, they could probably do it nowadays with the technology they have, but you don't get your stereotypical gym badges and battles on these islands. And I want that in a video game form. I still to this day want that in a video game form.
Like, couldn't it? It could very easily be DLC for Arceus, couldn't it?
I mean, it could. But even with Arceus right now, they're not in that part of the region. So, I mean, they have a Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee that, I mean, obviously we're not going to get any more updates to those games because it's been, I think, 3 or 4 years now that those games, I think 3 years since those games.
No, it hasn't been 3 years.
Yeah, because we had Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, and then we have Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. We have the Arceus. We have I'm forgetting something. And then we also have the Velvet game that's getting ready. Yeah, so yeah, about 3 years ago now.
Velvet.
Huh?
Velvet.
Isn't it called Velvet? I believe the new Pokemon games are called, let me see. New Pokemon game. It's Scarlet and Violet. Sorry.
Violet.
Yeah. Oh, and we have Pokemon Snap. So yeah, it's been quite a while because Let's Go came out before we even started this podcast, and we started this podcast. We've been doing this podcast for going on 2 years now. So yeah.
Fuck me.
I know. We're getting old, bro. But but okay. So Doug, take it away from here, because the part where I'm at is we're looking at Professor Ivy's white building.
So they walk in and they're immediately like, "Hello, is anybody home?" And you know, they're looking around and it's an empty building. It's very spacious, but it's completely empty. And Pikachu's standing there, and all of a sudden Pikachu starts to tip and Pikachu's gone. And you say, "Oh shit, he fell through the floor like last week." No, there's a hatch in the floor, and three little girls pop up. They're all very similar in look. They have the same glasses, so it's very easy to infer that they're related. And they're like, "Well, who are you?" And
yeah, because they just go and walk into freaking random houses uninvited. Well, I guess they were kind of invited, weren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, in so much that Oak probably sent a phone call or a message saying, "Hey, I've got three accomplices to come and pick up this thing, this Pokeball." Which to me says that Ivy doesn't communicate with these three little girls.
No.
None of them say, "Oh, you must be here to pick up the Pokeball. Who are you?" again, is fair because they just let themselves in, assumedly, but that's on her for letting the door. I don't know. I could talk myself in knots. and one of them is like, "Oh, she's out by the bay working with the Pokemon. We can take you." And like, oh boy, they talk in unison. And Pikachu's like, "Well, that fucking hurt." and they go out to the shore, and you know, the waves are crashing, and they look, and all of a sudden this Gyarados comes up and
it scares the crap out of everyone.
But then all of a sudden Brock goes, "Ooh," and we see that there's a woman is like you know, in the water playing with this Gyarados, and a Cloyster pops up, and what looks like a Poliwrath, and she's like, "Y'all are getting stronger every day," and Brock is just, he's getting immediately
he can't contain himself.
To be fair, Ash has kind of got the same dumbstruck look. But
did
I think
you,
Ash
did you
more...
see the breasticesis on this Professor Ivy? The way that they sexed her up for this episode? Like, Jesus.
You know, I didn't think about that because she's a cartoon.
But then, no, they I know she's a cartoon, but they sexed her up in this show.
And, but, and It's kind of funny because Brock and Ash kind of have the same dumbstruck look, but Ash is more impressed at the way that she's trained the Gyarados. And he's like, I wish I could train my Charizard like that. Jesus Christ, this completely skipped me on first watch. And Brock, he can't contain himself. He's like, I wish she would train me.
Okay. So Doug, just for a brief moment, we're going to take a quick pause. So, I mean, you know what happens in the future. You know that Brock ends up staying with Professor Ivy and all this because he's going to stay with him because Professor Ivy's not a very organized person. But then later on, when we see Brock again, he's like, yeah, we don't talk about Professor Ivy. He's like, that name. And something happened on that island, and she scarred him for life.
he tried to get it in, and she's like, no, because you're only 15.
She has a sex dungeon somewhere inside of that home and just scared the mess out of Brock. What is this?
Come on, he'd be into it.
I don't think so. I think she's a little too much work and way too mature for little old Brock over here.
He'd learn on the job.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I wish he would train me. And that line is immediately undercut by the little girls popping in front and saying, hey, Professor, these trainers are here to meet you. And she's like, ah. And she rides the Gyarados to the shoreline. And she jumps off. And one of the girls throws her lab coat. And she lands. And she's just, yeah, I see it.
Okay, so I'm not the only one, right?
Because it's not so much, it's the eyes.
The eyes, Doug?
It's the eyes.
The eyes.
Fuck me eyes.
The eyes. That's what you see when you pause the frame right there. So you don't see a very, like, sexed up Professor Ivy.
Oh, I see a confident, professional woman.
You know, there's rumors out there that Professor Ivy is transgender. And okay. that's what ended up fucking up Brock.
That's fucked up. That's horrible.
But there's like a whole, like, there's subreddits specifically for this part of the storyline where people make assumptions, and one of the big ones is she's a man, or she used to be a man. She used to be a man.
People are cracked in the head. And
you explain Brock getting scarred and hiding under a rock every single time Professor Ivy's name is said.
He tried to get it in, and she shot him down because he's 15, I'm telling you.
But he's been shot down by many more. Like, what was so significant about this one that put him in his little hole?
He was on an island with her. He couldn't get away, so he had to swallow it. Because, like, every other girl, like, the chick with the vial plume, where he was like, he thought, you know, he was going to stay and fall in love with her. And she was really in love with the dude. You know, they were leaving.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't have to think about her. But he sacrificed the journey to stay where he felt like he would be useful. And he got too comfortable in his surroundings. And he tried to get it in. And she's like, no, you're a child. Stop it.
Okay. If that's what you wanna, if that's how you wanna say it, I'm just messing with you, bro. We can continue the episode. I'm just fucking with you.
The other way is so wrong, and it's not it's not like her being transgender doesn't matter one.
No,
to me, one way or the other.
Honestly, I wish they would introduce her later on in Pokemon Journeys as a male or a transgender character, because I mean that would just show the advancement that Pokemon has. Like, they have love for everybody.
Well, and Reddit can be a fucked up place.
just a little bit.
So you know, she lands and puts on her lab coat, and she's like, "Please, it's nice to meet you. I'm Professor Ivy." And Brock is just immediately just blah. You know, then we're in the lab and we see the aforementioned mysterious Pokeball, and it's a gold fella. It's gold on top and it's silver on the bottom. And
you,
there's little.
This storyline bugs me, bro, because not only do we not get a conclusion to this, yeah, people are listening to this and they're like, okay, so we're going to find out what this is. But we never find out about this damn Pokeball. Ever. We don't find out what's inside.
I was going to ask you once we got off, because I wasn't going to bring it up on the show, just in case it was relevant. I was going to ask you, because I don't remember. I remembered that this was a GS ball. But I was like, do we ever find out? And I guess not.
No, I mean we are in Pokemon Journeys, and we are like putting caps on a lot of loose ends and stuff. I mean, there's a chance that we put a cap on this and we finally open up that GS ball, but yeah, we have no idea what's in it. You know what? It would be so cool if Go from Pokemon Journeys gets this ball and he's the one that's able to open it. And on the inside of this ball is Mew, the Pokemon that he is trying to capture. Oh, he might get... Okay. I'm putting too much out there. That's not bad.
And, you know, so we're kind of looking at it, and we see, they're like, oh, it seems like there's some writing on it, and zooms in, and it looks like it's GS, and Ash is like, interesting.
And wonder what that stands for, even though they just said, why is the ball gold and silver?
Shush. And they're like, so we decided to call it a GS ball because we're not very bright. And they said, well, you can't transport it. And they go over and they hit the button that we use to, you know, transport, you know, items and Pokemon, and nothing. And it's still there. And everybody's like, oh, it's still there. And they say, we've even tried everything to open it. You know, jackhammers and saws and crowbars and hacksaws, power drills, and lasers. And I'm sitting there at lasers. I kind of threw my hands up. I was like, really? Lasers?
Well, they do have Wi-Fi in the year 2000, or in Japanese. This was in 1999. So they do have Wi-Fi in 1999, Doug. So, I mean, they do have lasers.
I suppose.
Broaden your imagination, bro.
And so we tried everything. And,
so
like, you know, and we're kind of stuck, and so like,
and then they're like, yeah, so Ash looks over at the Pokeball and Pikachu and Togepi, which she has it under a glass. Well, I guess for security reasons, they don't want anybody stealing this thing. But it opens up, it startles Pikachu and Togepi, who are looking through the glass at this ball, and Professor Ivy goes and picks it up, and she's like, the secrets of this Pokeball myself are mysterious, but if anyone can solve its mysteries, it's your friend Professor Oak. And she hands Ash the ball. She's like, here it is, Ash. Make sure you get it to him safely. And Ash grabs the ball and he's like, right. You know, it would have been something. And I mean, all it took would be like 2 or 3 seconds. But all they really had to do at this point to differentiate this ball from like any other ball would be to be like, man, this ball's kind of heavy or something like that. Like it's solid gold. Like they,
right.
But he grabbed the ball as if it weighs just as much as a regular Pokeball. And it might. And
no, but I think you're right. I think, you know, it's solid gold on top and it's silver on the bottom. That has to weigh more than a regular ball. Just logically, that's what it dictates. But
yeah,
just kind of picks it up and he immediately calls Professor Oak, I think, is kind of a proof of completion kind of thing. And he's like, got something for you. And he holds it up and Oak's like, ah, that must be the mysterious Pokeball. And he's like, that's a GS ball. And
what was he doing to that Magikarp at the beginning of the scene?
What was he doing to that Magikarp?
He had like six wires attached to freaking Magikarp inside of a tank right before his phone rang.
He is monitoring brainwaves.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. Because I was about to go down a whole nother way.
I'm sure you were.
I was like, so which one of these Magikarp can I eat?
So, well, we've established that they're very tough, remember?
They are, but I'm sure at some point you can eat a Magikarp.
James broke his teeth on him.
No, Meowth did.
that's right. and so Oak's like, what's a GS ball? And Professor Ivy comes on screen and she's like, I came up with the name Professor. And like, oh, Professor Ivy, it's so nice to see you. And they kind of gush over reports that each one of them have put in magazines recently. And I really don't feel like going over the effort. I mean, it's very technical. If you want to hear it yourself, you know, watch the damn
Pokemon Researchers Monthly on Pokemon Adaptive Variations as a Function. She said found it quite persuasive.
Anyway, they get really in the weeds, and Ash is kind of all of us. He's like, is this going to take much longer?
And she's like, sorry, I get carried away sometimes.
and she's like, I certainly hope you can solve the mystery of the Pokeball, Professor. And Oak kind of puts his hand on his head, and he's like, I'll see what I can do. And
Ash is like, we'll see you soon, Professor Oak. Take care. Bye. Thank you. And Professor Oak is like, man, how terribly interesting. And then we go back over to Magikarp, who has these bugs on him. And he's like, Magikarp, 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 Magikarp. And then we're over with Team Rocket.
Yeah, Magikarp's, you know, mouth going, Magikarp, turns into Meowth going, huh, huh, huh. And we pan over and we see Team Rocket is staring at the wrecked blimp. And
from last week's episode.
It's junk. It's, you know, we're fucked, basically. And James is like, I guess we should have gotten the flight insurance, which, you know, and Meowth.
Like, the boss is going to hate us again.
Immediately just collapses and starts crying. And, you know, and
Jesse comes right over with a fucking wrench and just whacks both of them in the head. And is like, quit blubbering and let's get to work and fix this thing. What's up?
That's a concussion is what that is.
I know. And James, he's like, but Jesse, I don't know the first thing about work. Ba-bum.
And she's like, are you telling me you're not going to work? And they're like, no, we're not going to work. We'll work. Because you got a wrench and you're scary.
you already hit us.
And she's like, you know, you realize that the twerp and his friends have to get back. You know, they have a round trip, you know, we've got another shot at this. And, you know, that's when James comes to the realization. And then we flash, and James and Meowth also have work suits on. And, you know, they're like, let's get to work. And they go charging towards the blimp. And then we're back on the island with Professor Ivy in her laboratory. No little girls, just the
four of them.
Just the four of them. And
it looks like they're, well, at this point, because it seems like Professor Ivy and Professor Oak both have very big land, because it looks like they're in the backyard, like in like a little forest. But Professor Ivy talks to Brock, and she's like, we breed and study so many Pokemon over here. And Brock's like, oh, ooh. And Misty walks over to smell the flowers, and she's like, just look at all of these gigantic flowers. And she goes in and she sniffs, and all of a sudden we get a Vileplume, and then this Vileplume looks different. It has different petals on its head that look like big round circles, and it's orange on top instead of red. And Misty is like, Vileplume? And Ash is like, that's a Vileplume, but it looks different than the one that's here in my Pokedex. And
it's at this point that two of the girls come running in, and they've got a big like serving cart of food, and Brock's like, ah, you must make all the food yourself. And Ivy's like, yes, we've we've created recipes for each type of Pokemon. And you see some pears come out, and they've got some different markings. You see a bright red, or bright pink, and bright blue Nidoran and Nidorino.
We have a tan Raticate. Victory Bell, and a tan Raticate that comes out of the bush. And Ash is like, he's like, all of these Pokemon look a bit different than the ones that's over by me. And she's like, if you, Professor Ivy's like, it's not surprising, really. And Brock's like, it's not. And Professor Ivy then goes on to explain that the Pokemon on this island they basically eat different foods, and the sun is so strong on this island that the Pokemon here just end up looking different. And she says, naturally, a different environment creates differences in the Pokemon that are raised there. Doug?
And she basically alludes to the fact that her primary research is how the different environment that these Pokemon are being raised in causes the variations that we're seeing. And and Brock is like astounded. He's like, you don't mean that you bred and raised all these Pokemon on the island, do you? And she's like, yes, I've dedicated my life to them, and I couldn't be happier, quite frankly. And Brock just kind of has a moment, and we see one of the girls flinging some food out, and Gyarados is jumping in the sun, and Ivy's got the fuck me eyes again, and Brock's just, and Misty's like, I would love to see the different types of water Pokemon you've got around here, and Ash says, I wonder if there's a island version of Pikachu. And we pan over, and we see Togepi and Pikachu are kind of chowing down, and they're like, hey, you know, that's not yours. You put that back. And Ivy's like, oh, don't worry, there's plenty to go around.
For real. Like, Ash, stop being greedy. You see all the other Pokemon, they're not just going to give those Pokemon food and not yours.
And one of the little girls comes over and is like, Professor Ivy, you need to look at this. And we see a Butterfree with different markings on its wings, kind of clinging onto a branch.
Yeah, this is the first glimpse of a different type of, I mean, this is the third glimpse of a different type of Butterfree. We have the regular, we have the pink one, which we found out later on that that's a shiny Butterfree, and then this one with the weird markings on its wings, and it's kind of like yellow, an off-white, like kind of mustard type coloring on its wings. And am I kind of hitting that right, Doug?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely hit the off-white. I could see a dark type of mustard for sure, and it's got, you know, a little bit of red and some black, and we find out that this particular Butterfree hasn't eaten in
days,
a couple of days, and she's like, you know, we don't know what to do. We've tried, you know, all these different types of recipes, and nothing seems to be. And she's kind of checking her notes, and she's got a bowl of food in her other hand, and Brock reaches over and takes a big
old bite of the food.
Yeah, a hunk of kibble is what I was looking for. And he's like, I think I might know what to do. And he's like, I've got it. And he runs off, and he's like, I'll be right back. And
he goes into the forest and finds a bunch of like plants and stuff, and kind of mixes his own formula. And he explains to Professor Ivy at this point, the most important thing isn't how nutritious the Pokemon food is. He's like, they care about the taste. And he's like, Pokemon like food that tastes good to them. So Professor Ivy's like, well, flavor is a factor, I guess. But how can you determine what flavors each Pokemon likes? And he's like
tasting it.
He's like, only from experience. Okay, it's ready. And he takes some sprinkles and he puts it on the Pokemon's food, and Butterfree immediately smells it, flies over, dips down, and just starts eating like it hasn't eaten in days. Because it hasn't. And
Brock's like, I through my research, I found out that Butterfree like sweet things. So if you crush up some berries and put it on their food,
they'll eat it up every time.
And Ivy's like, I feel embarrassed. She's like, I call myself a Pokemon researcher, and clearly you're the one that knows a lot about Pokemon feeding habits. And Ash is like, Brock knows a lot about Pokemon, Professor. He wants to be one of the best breeders around. And Brock's like, well, gee, see, I'm very a boner. And
and she's like, a breeder, huh? And then I'm guessing these are her daughters.
I was saying daughters or nieces.
Yeah. And they're jumping up and down right in front of Brock, and they're like, oh my gosh, can you please teach us the different flavors the Pokemon like in their food? And they're just jumping up and down, and they're like, now, please, Brock, will you please?
This is something I just picked up. I didn't pick it up on first watch.
Okay.
These girls are very tall.
Yeah, they are.
I think they're older than I was giving them credit for. At least I hope they are.
Well, they're just as tall as Ash, but they're not as tall as Brock. Brock is still taller than them.
No, they're like up to his shoulders.
Yeah.
So I would say they're at least 10, but on first glance, when I was first watching it, my initial instinct was like 7 or 8.
Oh no, yeah, they have to be up there with Ash and Misty, at least.
And, you know, the two of them are like, you know, could you show us? And one of them comes up and is like, hey guys, come on, we got to decide, you know, who's stuck cooking dinner tonight and all this. And Brock immediately like snaps to attention. He's like, cooking? And
he's like, huh?
we get who's that Pokemon, and it's Lapras, which, considering what next week's episode is, I guess I can accept. But you know, I'm kind of used to black and white being like episode specific, and I'm back to Kanto being like an episode ahead of itself.
Yes.
So
we go, we get the Who's That Pokemon, and it's Lapras, and I'll take it because Lapras is the main star of next week's episode. But then after the Who's That Pokemon, we come back and we're immediately inside of Professor Ivy's home. And this home is a mess. There's dishes that haven't been done. There's clothing and underwear all over the place. I mean, for God's sake, the women left their bras hanging on the washing machine and in the sink and on the cabinet. And it's a mess. And the dishes look freaking horrible. And Brock is sitting there and he's like, well, yeah. And Missy's like, this is a nice place. And the women see nothing wrong with this picture. Let me just throw that out there.
Well, you know, Ivy's like, you know, we got so wrapped up in, you know, all the Pokemon research and what have you, you know, stuff starts falling through the cracks, and then, you know, it just got easier and we just started calling it, and the girls in unison are like, our little dump. And like you said, they're happier than pigs and shit, probably literally. And Ash has got like this forced smile. He's like, dumps are usually nicer. And Brock is like trying to hold it in and he just can't. And he just explodes.
And he's like, floors to be swept, cooking, mopping, polishing, cleaning. And he puts on his cleaning gear. He's like, this is just like at home. Leave it to Super Brock. And then he just goes on a rampage cleaning this place within minutes.
And he's just, you know, he's going in hyperdrive. And, you know, they're like, Brock's really over the place. And he's polishing, he's cooking, he's cleaning. And Ash is like, he's doing it all for free. And he gets Zeus jumping up and down having a gay old time. We flash and the house is literally sparkling, and there's a big feast on the table, and Professor Ivy's got a knife and a fork and a napkin tucked in her shirt, and she's like, let's thank Brock, and all the girls are like, later, let's eat, and there's hum 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 hum. And
the only time Professor Ivy's cleavage is hidden, and it's by a napkin.
And, you know, the girls are housing all this food, and Ash looks at Misty and goes, you know, the Pokemon chew quieter than this. And Brock is just, he's sitting back, he's beaming, he's like, this is just like my family. Pikachu and Togepi are chowing, and then we cut to nighttime, and Pikachu and Ash are knocked out. Misty and Togepi are sleeping. Togepi's in its egg. And
outside, we have a whole bunch of Bioplume just walking around. And Professor Ivy's getting all of the all of it on video because she's doing it for her study. And
Brock walks up and he's got like midnight donuts. And he's like, I thought you would like a midnight snack. And we find out that this is a ritual that Vileplume do to ward off other Pokemon from their habitat. And
they're spraying out their pollen.
Yes. But then the Raticate that we saw briefly earlier comes into the area and it starts to get affected by the pollen. And Professor Ivy jumps up without even
thinking.
And grabs the Raticate and gets it out of the area and collapses. And
Brock gets a tissue out of his pocket, runs through the pollen so he doesn't get paralyzed as well. And he's like, Professor, are you okay? And Professor Ivy can barely move at this point. And she's like, save the Raticate. And Raticate is kind of like sneezing, and she's like, contact the Pokemon Center immediately. And both of the girls are like, yes, ma'am. And then Ash and Misty get woken up from all of this. And they are just mad that just be happy you're not in school, Ash. But Ash gets woken up and Pikachu's on his shoulder, just knocked out of sleep. She has Togepi, which I think they could have left Pikachu and Togepi in the beds and Misty and Ash just woke up. But they're like, yeah, I'm glad they woke us up. Good thing we didn't sleep through all of this.
And I mean, you know, they literally must have grabbed Misty because Misty didn't even have time to put on her suspenders.
I know. And they're like, Professor Ivy, you should know, or Nurse Joy's like, you should know how dangerous it is to jump in front of a Vileplume when they're spraying their pollen like that. And she's like, I know, but how is the Raticate? And she's like, because you got it away from the pollen so fast, it's going to make a full recovery. And Raticate's like, just snoring away. And Professor Ivy just lays down and just passes out and goes to sleep. And she's like, and the girls come and she's like, we were so worried about you. And she just opens her eyes. She's like, I didn't mean to scare you girls. And they're like, please don't do something like that again. And Brock is kind of like reminiscing about his brothers and sisters. And he's just smiling and just looking on. And the girls are giggling. And then now it's morning. And we have Paris getting coconut out of the tree. And then Doug, if you want to take this part.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad you noticed the Paris, because I was definitely going to make note of that because I thought that was kind of cute. So we see it's bright and early. Everybody's happy because they must have been able to go back to sleep. And Ash is like, well, we got to be hitting that old dusty trail. We got to get that GS ball to Professor Oak. And she's like, it was nice meeting you. You can all come back anytime. And we're like, wait a minute. There was a third fellow with us. And all of a sudden, the house starts to shake.
And then you see Onyx. And Brock with Geodude with a bunch of lumber. And I'm at this point I'm watching this as a kid and I'm like, uh-oh. we're about to get rid of one of my favorite characters in this show. No. Doug.
So Brock is up on the roof hammering in some nails. Looks like he's patching a hole. And Professor Ivy, no pun intended, kind of hits the nail on the head and says, well, it appears that Brock has decided to stay with us. And, you know, Brock's like, he looks back and he says, I don't think that roof is going to leak anymore. And Ivy's like, well, that's wonderful. The girl's like, he's great. And they're like, it's like we were adrift at sea until Brock came along. I hated this.
Yeah, Brock looks right up and he's like, this ship needs a captain.
And then
the wind's hitting him, his Zubat flies right by, the wind's gusting as if he's on an actual boat, but he's on top of the house. And Pikachu's like, Pika. And Brock's like, if I stay here, I'll get to learn more and more about Pokemon every day. And then here comes the Butterfree that he's become friends with. Ash should be kind of jealous because he had to get rid of his Butterfree. And Brock's like, he's like, and I think these guys may need me a lot more than you guys do. And Ash is like, well, you're the one that cooks for us. He's like, well, how are we going to eat if you leave?
You know what this is, right?
What?
This is Brock saying, I must stay and help these women, for I am man, and these women are helpless.
Yes. Yes, I mean...
This is bullshit.
But you... Well, I'll go over at the end of the episode, but you remember why this is happening the way it's happening, right?
If I haven't caught it.
Okay. So I'll go over it at the very end of this episode. And Ash is like, well, I guess this is goodbye then. Goodbye, friend. And Brock's like, friends to the end, right? And he's like, right. And Pikachu's over here dancing back and forth. And then they go and they say their own goodbyes. And Brock's like, just make sure you won't forget me, will you? And Ash is like, how can we forget you? You're the only one that makes us food. I'm about to get skinny now. And then all of Brock's Pokemon, his Vulpix, Onix, and Geodude, Zubat, they're all waving goodbye as well. And Brock's like, see you guys later. And then we go, and we're immediately back with just Ash and Misty, how we started the Pokemon adventure in the Kanto region. And they're like, it's going to be really weird not having Brock around with us. And Ash's like, yeah, no, I wish he was coming back to with us. But now that you mention it, how are we going to get back? And Ash is like, no problem. I have our blimp tickets right here. And Missy's like, but we can't go back on that blimp. It's destroyed. And Ash is like, yeah. And the food was bad and they didn't show a movie.
I did laugh out loud at that. I'm not going to lie.
And Ash is like, ah, all right. So they all look up and they see a brand new blimp. So Team Rocket has officially fixed the blimp that was destroyed before. And Jesse and James pop up and they're like, checking any luggage? And this is flight 001. The maiden voyage, is the most incredible to ever sail the seven skies. And Ash's like, are you sure this is safe?
This line got me. I was on the floor here. Because Ash is like, are you sure this thing is safe? And James is pushing from behind. He goes, it's safe enough, kid. Are you trying to live forever? What the hell?
All right, Doug, if you want to go over the next part in this scene.
So they're pushing and the ramp closes and we get Jesse and she's on like the comm system and she says, prepare for takeoff. And Meow in his little captain's uniform is like, preparing takeoff, and pushes up and we see Jigglypuff gets kind of blown away by the propeller and the ship goes up and it's gracefully floating over the cliff and we see that Jigglypuff was able to grab onto the wing. Not the wing. Well, yeah, like the wing on top of the plane.
Yes.
The fin, I guess. And Ash is like, hey, where's our food?
We're hungry here. I laughed at that because he's like, well, damn it. He's like, we didn't get food on the first blimp. We're going to get food on this one.
And they're like, oh, you're hungry, are you? And they're like, we hope you like candy. And Meow pops up and he's like, as in bars. And he hits a button and a cage drops down in front of the seats. And they do their little motto. And Ash is like, God damn it, it's Team Rocket, son of a bitch.
He's like, it's them. And then Team Rocket goes through and they do their motto. And they actually get through the whole motto. And then you got Misty like, why won't you guys just leave us alone? And freaking Jesse is like, we'll leave you alone when, and then they're like, wait, hey, where's the other twerp that hangs out with you too? And they're like, huh, oh, you mean Brock. So you forgot him already. And James is like, Jesse, I think we've accidentally captured a pair of very romantic creatures in our little cave. And she's like, oh, you mean they're lovebirds? And Meow just jumps up and Ash and Misty look at each other and they're like, ugh, you're crazy. And Misty's like, crazy is right, never in a million years. And they Jesse points at them and they're like, but they're blushing. And Meowth is having a cat on the floor. He's just like, ah, this is so funny. He's like, kissy, kissy, kissy. And Ash's like, it's not true. Pikachu, use your thunderbolt. And Pikachu is like, Pika. And he's like, hold it. This blimp is a giant flame, flying inflamed gas tank. This blimp is a giant flying inflammable gas tank. There you go. And they're like, if you use your electric powers on here, we're all going to die. Doug?
And so Pikachu's like, oh, shit, he's got a point. And Meowth's like, all right, Romeo, time to hand over that Pikachu. And come on, let's go, come on. And Ash is like, son of a fuck. And then who pops out of nowhere other than Jigglypuff? And she does a little bow, and they're like, oh, shit, Jigglypuff. And, you know, it starts to sing, and
Jigglypuff, Jigglypuff.
And everybody starts to kind of wobble on their feet. Team Rocket has enough wherewithal to put on parachute packs, and they freaking fly out of the door. The door flies off its hinges.
Jigglypuff goes with them.
And we get a sleepy Team Rocket saying, looks like Team Rocket's drifting off again. And like you said, Jigglypuff is riding the parachute down. And pardon me, we get the narrator comes in as we see Ash and Pikachu are asleep on the floor. Misty's asleep in her chair holding Togepi, who has folded in on itself.
And the narrator's like, while our friends have drifted into dreamland, they're also drifting into danger. Where will their giant airship take them? And can they survive the flight? Find out next time on Pokemon. To be continued.
And then we get the to be continued. I would be very interested to see the gap between this episode and the next one, because obviously, as we've touched on, next episode is also the debut of the Orange Islands theme song.
Yes.
So I would imagine they weren't back next week.
That's a good question. I can actually pull that up right now. I think they did take a few weeks off. Let's see. All right. Pokemon episode list. So right here. So no, they were back the following week. Yeah.
Oh, that's dumb. That's dumb.
Yep. The Lost Lapras 7 days later.
You got it. That's a big cliffhanger. That's wait a couple of months.
And then they took a 2 week break until they brought in the next episode. After the Lost Lapras. So,
like, all right, you know he survived. You know we're getting new shit because we've got a new theme song. We don't have Brock. You know everybody's safe. Now we can take a break.
So, but yeah, that's it. Rewatching this episode was not as bad as watching it the first time and reviewing it this time. Do you agree, Doug?
Well, like I say, I always get a little bit more enjoyment out of reviewing these episodes than I do just watching them on first pass.
Yeah.
Because I said, you know, before we got on here, I said these were two nothing episodes. And I maintain that. I mean, you know, Grant pointed out last week that it wasn't really a filler episode because we did have an A to B. I mean, they did end up on the Orange Island.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was obviously a huge development with Brock staying behind. But still kind of, and I mean, yeah, they zhuzhed it up a little bit with the cliffhanger of, you know, what's going to happen. You know, Team Rocket's gone and Misty and Ash are asleep in the ship. But I just feel like they'd missed an opportunity of not taking a month because, you know, this is 2000, so it's not like you can jump on and say, oh, they'll be fine next week.
you want to know something funny, bro? So
what's that?
A fun fact. So we get one episode the following week, and then they take a 2-week break. And then on February 5th, they premiere 3 episodes in the same day. You get Fit to Be Tied, Pikachu Revolts, and The Crystal Onyx all in one day.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then you got one more episode called In the Pink for February 12th. And then you don't get another episode. Oh, no, never mind. You get 2 episodes the following week, but it looks like Shell Shock. And I'm going to have to do a little bit of digging, but that premiered on March 4th, but it premiered out of order.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do some digging on that, because it looks like for the next couple weeks, they were premiering a bunch of episodes together to kind of catch up to the Japanese air dates or whatnot. But all right, but what would you give this week's episode, Pokeball Apparel?
What did I give last week? 2.5?
Yep.
I mean, this is probably a 3.5, if nothing else. You know, you did have the cliffhanger ending.
Yeah.
You know, Brock staying behind was a huge development.
You know, I'm going to give this myself about a 3, a solid 3, only because I know next week, next week is going to be a black and white episode, but the episode that we're doing next for the Orange Islands, which will be the Lost Lapras, I believe, and I haven't rewatched it yet, but I believe that episode is better than this episode. And okay. I think that one might get the bump up to about a 3.5, maybe a 4, if I remember the episode correctly. But you guys have to wait 2 weeks for that. for that. But if you're listening to this on the free feed, though, if you go on our Patreon, 1 week from today, you'll be able to listen to the next episode of the Orange Island. So go up on there and become a Patreon and listen to episodes a week in advance. And you get your specials a month in advance. But it is now time, Doug, for me to open the Sword and Shield Fusion Strike Pack that I have right here in front of me. So let's go ahead and open this up. All right, do my card trick. Doug, what card am I about to look at? Think of all the different types.
Well, let's see. Last week was...
Last week was lightning.
Yes, so I'm going to say fire.
Fire? Okay, it's psychic.
Ah, fuck.
So, so I got a psychic energy. I got a chili, silent, and crest card. I have a Copperaja, I think that's how you pronounce it, a Zoroark, a Panseer, a Gumi, an Aracuda, a Snubbull, a Geodude, my reverse holo is an Electric, and ooh, fucking right, I have a full art Gengar B-Mat card, full-blown. Oh, nice. Shiny. Yes, this is good. That is awesome. I knew it was going to be something good because I kept seeing something shiny as I was going through these. That's nice. That's a really shiny card. Holy crap. See, that's what a shiny... What's up?
So that's a solid pull.
Yeah, it is. It's actually hurting my eyes because I got lights right above me and I'm looking at it. And it's like blinding me. It's like really, really shiny. And this week's Pokemon Trading Card Game live code for you is DRBNXCTCDHDNJ. And that is this week's Pokemon Trading Card Game live code. first come, first serve. Good luck to all of you out there. Do you have anything else that you would like to add, Doug?
I do not believe so.
All right. Well, if that's it, well, say your goodbye, Doug.
Bye, Doug.
And this is Wrestling Chris G telling all of you we will be back next week with a black and white episode for you. Have a good night, everybody, and see you next week.